You're Smarter Than Us is a proud member of the Soccer and Sweet Tea Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Check out all of the coverage of Soccer in the Carolinas at soccer, the letter N, sweettea.com. You're listening to the You're Smarter Than Us podcast, Asheville's premier soccer podcast. Hey guys, it's Tim with another episode of You're Smarter Than Us, and I'm with Coach Mick again. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing well, man. Good afternoon, everyone.
It's a derby week, if you can hear it in our voice, guys. We play Greenville this weekend, this Saturday. Keep an eye on those weather reports. It could be a wet one, but obviously we already have a half under our belt dealing with them in the rain. But before we talk about that and what could potentially be the, would it be too ridiculous to call it the biggest regular season game in the history of, I guess maybe New Orleans last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly in the...
You know, it's in the discussion. Let's just talk about it now.
Certainly in discussion. Playoffs, New Orleans, but hey, why not, right? It's 2-2 for the Classico. Could push someone far ahead in first, or could make the standings even tighter. Why not?
So, guys, as the table currently stands, we sit on top for the first time, I believe, ever at the midway point. We have been alone at the top before in the past, but not... this far into the season, and of course this season is a little truncated because of the lack of teams in our conference. So we have played 5 games. We are on a 3-game winning streak. We drew with Greenville away, and we lost to Nashville our first game of this season. Coach, how do you feel thus far? Again, high school history teacher here. If you had to give us a grade at the midway point, what would it be?
I think we're sitting at a good B. We're at a solid B right now. We could have done some things better. We could have had a few more results go our way. Obviously, we're up 2-0 and down in Greenville, and we let that slip. And then we didn't put Nashville away early in the season, ended up losing that one. So take those away, and you add in the friendly with South Carolina United, who's now they're 5-0 in their league in the USL2. Take our draw with them. And we're looking at a 5-game unbeaten streak. So boys are sharp. But once again, we've got a lot still for me that we need to be better in, especially if we're going to go win this thing and we're going to really push for a regional and national title. So I think a solid B right now.
Who's been your, surprise of the season? Who's a player that maybe, you expected big things from, but maybe you thought it was going to take a little longer in the season for them to develop?
I would say maybe Frank, just because he was coming off of a sports hernia surgery, and we honestly didn't think he was gonna be able to go till right about now. And his recovery process, he was 3.5 to 4 weeks ahead of time. So with him missing the entire spring down at Georgia State, and then to come in and be doing what he's doing right now, I think my surprise might be Frank.
What do you think has been our most comprehensive game of the season, even if it was a loss or a draw?
I would have to say I don't think we've had one yet, to be honest. I think we're close, but I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we've actually had one, to be honest.
Comprehensive half?
Oh, that could be split between... the Revs at home and Greenville away. They had their chances for sure, but I think we obviously scored 2 goals, so it was quite nice. So I think it would probably be between those two, with the Revs maybe being just a touch ahead.
Are you surprised that the table outside of Asheville's results looks like it does? Is there anybody, and not trying to give anybody bulletin board material or anything like that, but are we a little surprised Greenville's doing as well as they are? And on vice versa, are we a little surprised that Chattanooga's maybe sitting at the bottom of the table?
I don't think in terms for me, I'm not surprised about Greenville. I knew how good they were going to be, and I knew what they were going to be this year in terms of ability, you know. So I don't think that's a surprise at all. I think Chattanooga at the bottom, that is a little bit of a surprise. Now, you take into it and you look at it, they've only played two games because their international game, the night we played Greenville, that game for them was postponed, so that's coming up, and they've got a lot of games coming up. So, but them sitting with only 1 point out of two games, for me, that is a little surprising. You know, you watch some of their friendly games, and it's almost, I don't want to say they're more up for the friendlies, because I think they've been up for their league games, based on the two that they've had and the two that I've watched. But it is a little surprising, because they are, and they have been, the gold standard, and you know, I'm sure they're going to get things sorted. Obviously, we look at the Silverbacks last year, now Atlanta SC. They started off slow, and then they went on a 8-game unbeaten streak, and they finished second. So I wouldn't be surprised with Chattanooga if they've got a lot of momentum and fire coming. But at the same time, it is a little surprising to see them in that place for us and for the majority of the league midway through.
And so they've played two games. Yep. They've got 8 left. They play again. Both their games that they have played have been at home.
Yep.
And they play Saturday at home.
Yep.
Are you just kind of licking your lips at potentially sure. They've got 5 games in 15 days.
Oh,
they
yeah.
play us away in the middle of that. Mm-hmm. And then their first game kind of outside of that, we go to play them at Finley after a couple yep. days rest.
Yeah, I think it's certainly, I'll say this, I'm glad I'm not in their shoes right now, being there last year and having that many fixtures in that little time. I will definitely say their depth will be tested. That being said, I think they've got a lot of good players. I think they're more than just an 11 aside team. I think they've got numerous guys that can go on and play, and that's obviously why they're gearing up for the MPSL Pro. And I think a lot of people that have asked me, they've said, well, are they distracted by their upcoming MPSL Pro season in the fall? And I don't want to say they are. Once again, I just think it's just one of those things where, whatever reason, it hasn't clicked for them yet and in the league. And so it's certainly a situation where it's going to be interesting as they go down the road and as they go with so many road games, such little time, you know, their bodies, buses, all those trips. They're fortunate enough where they're kind of in the middle of the conference in terms of location. So I don't think they're not going to have to deal with getting home at a 4:30 a.m. from Nashville type thing, but it's still going to be a lot on the player's body. So I'm happy that we've got them at the end of it, but at the same time, it's a derby, so they'll be coming.
So what about our own schedule? We've had, am I right? We've had 3 away and 2 home?
We have.
At least in league.
In league, yep.
And so now, at the beginning of the season, we talked about how if you could have labeled our philosophy of style mm-hmm. or our style of play, it would have been possession-oriented, press, play the ball through the midfield, which again is always kind of a roll of the dice at this level when your guys are only together for 8 weeks this point, potentially some even less than that. Obviously leading into that also would be the idea of that sort of style being played more beautifully or being able to be expressed on larger pitches instead of the thin pitches that we're seeing in a lot of the high schools. So if even though we're playing Chattanooga twice in the back half of the season, we've got a couple high school pitches out of the way now.
Yep.
We still have 3 home games and 1 game at Finley, which is, FIFA regular size. So 4 more games on larger pitches that we tend to do better on. How do you kind of see the rest of this unfolding?
Yeah, I think it's been interesting for sure going on the road and experiencing some of the fields we have and experiencing the dimensions. And that's where it goes back to earlier where I don't think we've had a full or complete game yet because we've had to adjust. Whether it was in the first half we weren't I wouldn't want to say prepared, but just really weren't, you know, Atlanta, I mean, 56 yards, you can't, even if you try to prepare for that, you can't.
Is that even thinner than Serene?
It is.
Okay.
It is. That's the thinnest that I believe we'll play on this year. I think Serene and Georgia Revs are the same width, which is about the same as Nashville as well. So those three are in the range of 60 wide, whereas Atlanta was 56. So, you know, it's been interesting. But getting back to your question, I think as we go through it, it's going to be just nice, one, being at home, being with our fans, being in a bigger field. I remember when we played the Bantams at home in that friendly, and then when we played the Revs at home, Memorial seemed like an ocean. It was so big compared to what we've been on so far. And so it was nice. We were able to play a little bit more. We still have to work on the safety versus risk at times, and we haven't gotten our press completely how we want it. And Memorial is obviously going to be different than the road games just because of the dimensions. And Finley will be extremely nice to play on. Nice, big, wide field. But hopefully we can sharpen up in a few areas. And like I said, the press is one of the areas we want to be, and we need to be better in our defending shape. We've gotten better at it, and we've been more collected, and the lines have been tighter, but we're still not getting completely what the staff's trying to get out of it. So hopefully we can see that go as we work through the last few weeks of the regular season and we get some of these bigger fields. It'll be nice, though. Only two more on the road, one obviously Revs and one Chattanooga, so we know at least one of those fields it's a good size, and then we can go and do the same thing.
So when you look back on past performances, games, goals we've given up, do you practice according to what a team does well? And mm-hmm. So I ask this because we're not giving up a lot of goals from organized open play.
Yeah. Against Knock on wood, right? Knock on wood.
Yeah. Well, against Nashville, flute goal.
Yep.
If that free kick is taken 100 times, I bet you he scores it over or under the wall 5 times, and I bet you that's 4 times more than
yep.
the keeper makes that same mistake.
Yep.
If you look at the goal scored in Atlanta, bad clearance, kind of mm-hmm. a bad distribution pass,
yep.
beats the keeper, gorgeous curler. A fluky play against Greenville for their first goal that was kind of controversial.
Yeah.
Their second one they probably deserved.
Yeah.
So those three goals off the top of my head, I don't know that you can practice for those. Those
yeah.
are just kind of in-the-minute mistakes that again, 99 out of 100 times don't happen. So do you just kind of continue doing what you're doing well, or do you look at that international game that Greenville scored? See that very clearly they've got some sort of talent for counter-striking.
Yep.
Even against Chattanooga, one of their goals they scored was a gorgeous,
yep.
I don't remember if it was a free kick, but it was a good save by the keeper.
Yeah.
But that quickly got converted, and 15 seconds later, almost
yeah.
against the run of play, they're up.
Yep.
So do you kind of, knowing that what you're doing is working, do you keep going that way? Or do you see what Greenville's doing, and do you change what we're doing to prepare for what Greenville's good at?
Yeah, I think you have to do a little bit of both. We've been fortunate where we, once again, knock on wood, we haven't given up too many goals from the run of play yet. And defensively, we've been fairly sound. But at the same time, we need to prepare for what they're good at. And so that's what kind of this week is about, is, you know, one, preparing for them and what they're going to be good at. And they've got loads of good players. They've added, you know, some of their Clemson boys have been able to now join now that they're out of their finals and everything. And Coach Lee has a really good style of play and what he wants to do. And so they've been on form with it. You know, I thought they were a bit unfortunate not to beat Atlanta the other night, watching that game. And so we need to prepare for them. But at the same time, later in the week as you go, my philosophy is earlier in the week, prepare for the other team. Later in the week, prepare what you're going to do. You can't change everything, and this is stuff that I've learned from last year, from you know, other mentors of mine in the game, is that you can't change how you want to play just because if someone else is good at something. You need to make sure that you solidify your strengths, but you're also prepared for what they're going to be good at. So hopefully, as we go through this week, the boys will be sharp and prepared for what Greenville will be good with, which is several different things. And then as well, we can go on later in the week. And now we're preparing our game plan, what we want to do, how we're going to go and beat them, hopefully, as we go through it.
In the game against Greenville, the first one, which half do you feel was truer to what we could expect on Saturday?
I don't know if we can even look at either half, just because of two reasons. One, we had the 45-minute lightning delay at halftime, so that gave extra rest and planning and preparing. Also, kind of could hurt you at the same time and could give you stiff legs, and your mind can start to switch off or exhaust you more because you're mentally still going even though you're physically not. And then as well, just the field size is going to be much different. So I'm not sure if either half is really going to be vindictive of what we'll see this weekend. I'll say that hopefully in the second half we were able to attack a little bit more. We had a few more counters. We had a few more chances, even though we did score in the first half. So hopefully that we're sharp there and we can create a few opportunities like that. But like I said, I'm not sure either half is really going to be or tell the story for what goes on for either team this weekend.
Who's potentially surprised you on another club? Is there anybody who you knew coming into the season, maybe we even took a look at, or when you saw them sign for the Revs or somebody, mm-hmm. you thought, okay, there's somebody we needed to watch out for?
Yeah, I think, well, first off, if you go down to Greenville, you know, Emmanuel Perez, he played for him last year. He was kind of a fringe guy for him last year. You know, he played some, didn't play some. I think he's done really well for them. I could be wrong. I believe he's sitting on 4 goals this year already. So obviously you look at him, he's a little bit of a surprise in terms of just because he was a fringe player last year for him. Obviously, you know, he played at Barry University and then left in this past year. He played at Charleston. Well, this past year, yes, he was at Charleston, but Barry won Division II national title, so obviously he had quality to be there. We know Charleston's quite good from our two boys that we've got that play there. So he's a good player, but like I said, he was on the fringe last year, and this year he's really stepped up for him, so he's done really well. And then I think if you look at Atlanta, they've got a few players in their midfield that you knew were good players, but they've been kind of fringe players at their universities, where this season so far, for whatever reason, they've just clicked. Maybe it's the system, maybe it's people around them, but they've done really well. And they're doing some things that it's like, okay, well, you know, haven't seen him do that before. And that's interesting. It's different for him to add that to his game. But yeah, I think those would be kind of the ones that, for me at least, as we've gone through it, that have stood out.
You're Smarter Than Us is brought to you in part by Tasty Beverage Company, a beer store and bar on Asheville's South Slope. In addition to featuring a world-class selection of local, regional, imported craft beer, Tasty also carries a selection of specialty beverages like natural wine, cider, and craft sodas. This year, Tasty will be showing Asheville City away games all season long, so go visit them at 162 Cox Avenue, across from Swannanoa Cleaners, and make sure to let them know we sent you. And as how's the academy going?
It's good. It's we've had 2 meetings. Coach Wangren has had them down for 2 classroom meetings. One kind of expectations and standards. Another one a little team building and looking at how they want to play, basing it and reflecting it off of the first team and looking at the different styles and formations and systems of play. So it's been good. Tonight, later on, we'll get the first session in over at JBL, and that'll be exciting. I know they're all buzzing, and the boys are ready for that to get going, and I've chatted with a few of them myself, and they're just excited that it's finally here, and it's good, and we're working on some plans to get a few games for them right now. Actually, I have a couple calls later, and I know Coach Wangren has had a few calls earlier this afternoon about a couple games, so we're sorting that last piece out, but it's going well. We're excited.
What are those games going to look like? I know, obviously, we have the Georgia Revs friendly,
yep,
which we've kind of all pontificated will probably be a reserve. You know, we play Chattanooga the next mm-hmm. night away.
Yep.
But what other games? Who I guess, like, what's the opponent pool?
We've got, so Charlotte Eagles have a reserve team, and it also works out that our women and their women are in the same division,
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, we've got a good relationship with their club. Lake Norman Soccer Club, now Charlotte Independent Soccer Club, close to one of their directors, and they've got a U20/U23 team, so that would be one of them. Tri-Cities usually fields a reserve team, and they've been poking around a little bit. So there's a few of those. There's a team out of Atlanta that has talked about maybe coming up. Wake FC out of USL2 has reserve team. Same with Carolina Dynamo has reserve. So we've got a few local...
Fusion?
Yeah. Sorry.
It's
NC
okay.
Fusion. I'm
they'll
still
be the Dynamo for a long time.
They will be. They've been the Dynamo for me forever. So it's sorry. My apologies. NC Fusion U23 reserves. So they've got that team as well. And so there's these nice little pool, nice little mixture of groups around. Who knows? Maybe Greenville might have a reserve team this year, like they did last year, and we can maybe get a game in as well. So that's what we're looking at. That's kind of our pool right now, is trying to get 3, maybe 4 at most games. We don't want to overdo them. Don't want to overdo it this first year. We want the boys to understand what the club is all about, what the philosophy and the standard will be as we go through it. And hopefully we're able to promote and push a few of the guys forward here over the next few weeks, at least get them into some of the training sessions with the first team.
And is there any possibility of any of them featuring in any of our games, whether it be because of tired legs or illness or injury?
For sure. I would. I mean, we saw, if we go back to our Tri-Cities game and we look back to, you know, the preseason game there, we had 6 of them in that squad, and 3 started. And to be fair, did all right. They did well. So I would say that, you know, I'm not sure where they may fall in, or the time, whether it could be, who knows, tomorrow, it could be in 2 weeks, or the end of the season. But I wouldn't be surprised to see a few Academy boys get pulled up, you know, especially if they're doing well. That's what it's all about. I mean, we've seen Johnny Mennel do really well. We saw him play a good 45 minutes against South. Yeah, he saved a PK, and after the game, he told me he needed to save it because he's the one that gave it up. And he played well, and he had some really big saves at it, you know, and he's just 15. He's probably one of the youngest ones that would have been in the academy if he had gone there, and he's done well with the first team and has earned his keep. So we expect there to be a few more that will do well and that we have high hopes for sure.
All right, so now we move into kind of fantastical on two different levels. Let's say we make the playoffs. Yep. Let's say we win the playoffs. Yep. At what point in the season would you guys start to look outside of just the Southeast and start to kind of see what other clubs are doing? And off the top of my head, the reason I ask that is because you go down and you see what Naples and mm-hmm. Miami United and Miami FC are doing. Do you ever even think about them until after you win the final,
yeah,
or do you need to even maybe at this point even start kind of keeping tabs on them?
I think you start looking early. Fortunate enough, I don't have, like I said before, I don't have much of a life, so there are a lot of games that are streamed on my Kuju. And so, you know, throw on 45 minutes of a game is, I mean, that's nothing. So we've watched a lot of games between our league and USL2, just to see, one, just to kind of see the temperature of it, to see where the level is and where other teams are and how they're playing, some of the things that they're doing. I think one big thing for us as we continue to grow is always learn from others, especially others that are quite successful. And so we've been looking at teams throughout the entire country. Detroit City is a fun one to always watch. And I think that as you go through it, maybe it's not completely keeping tabs on them until, you know, you're in playoffs. I think a big thing for me is focus on one game at a time and focus on your one opponent at a time. But certainly when you hit playoffs, it does make it more difficult because you do have to look ahead a little bit so you're not caught off guard. Probably end of June, maybe early July, it's when you start to get some scouting reports on some other teams in the region that are looking like, you, if you're fortunate enough to continue to push on and you find success, that you might be matching up with. You see New York Cosmos be, that would be a long way down the road for us, but obviously they've started out 6-0. They're doing quite well. You talk to a few other people in other regions and you hear some things from them. You look at players that you know, and then like I said, you start to build that kind of later on, but still maintaining your focus on just one game at a time, take what's in front of you, and then go make the most of it.
So you kind of beat me to the punch on my second question. You mentioned the way that NPSL sides are playing USL 2 sides, and obviously this is happening actually in two different fronts. One are friendlies. We've played Tri-City and the Banthams, but it's also happening in the Open Cup.
Yep.
Is that something you guys pay attention to? I know there are... We haven't talked about the Open Cup a lot on the podcast, and we may eventually do an entire episode on it and really break it down. But Asheville City is eligible for the Open Cup. Mm-hmm. It's completely dependent on how we do from year to year. If we continue this little run that we're on, we could have hard decisions to make next year.
Yep.
Again, forecasting. Let's say we did extremely well and we had that option. How would you balance an Open Cup schedule with our regular season schedule?
Yeah, I think it's something that I can say it's a goal for all of us within the club, from ownership to our staff. It's a goal to be able to be there and to be in the Open Cup, and it would be an honor. You know, it's our American version of the FA Cup, in a way. So we're trying to get into that, and we hope to. I think the way you balance those types of things, though, and this comes from some of my conversations with coaches and staffs that have been in that situation or just were in that situation, is one, you have to make sure you have a roster and you have players in, but two, if you're able to balance out your league matches or move some fixtures around in the league, that certainly helps, especially early on. And then from there, you just kind of have to go for it, and you have to make sure that the recovery process, whether it's you play a NPSL League game, then US Open Cup, then NPSL League game, or if it's US Open Cup, then NPSL League game as you start the season, you just have to make sure the recovery process is right. And once again, I think it all comes down to the players' mentality coming in, because it would be right after. But it's similar to what we've had in years past. You know, you look at last season where we played on a Friday, May 4th on a Friday night against Myrtle Beach Mutiny. And then we turn around and play on a Tuesday in a league game right away. And then we play again on the next Saturday. So I think it's just a similar type of stretch like that. Look back at what we did 2 weeks ago. Played Saturday, played Thursday, then played Saturday again. It's just finding that balance, finding that rotation, trying to keep guys sharp. The one thing that does help the US Open Cup is, from our side of it, from internally, is there's so much excitement and so much buzz for a team and for a club to be in it that you don't have to motivate the boys, you don't have to get them up, you don't have to try and worry about like, oh, how are they going to be mentally for this? They're going to be buzzing for it. So if we're fortunate enough to be in that situation, I don't think we have to do much or change much of what we've already done over this season, and even looking back to my first years last season, don't think you change much. You just got to make sure, obviously, the most important thing, you get your players in.
So now to give somebody some bulletin board material, who would you want if you could pick a dream opponent in the Southeast?
I think if you look at it, and it would be, obviously, if you're talking first round, you're probably thinking USL 2 team. Tormenta 2 would be fantastic to have. One, it would really test us. They're a really good club, from top to bottom, from first team to their in the USL one to their twos in the USL two. They're sitting at the top of the standings in both leagues, and so it would be fun to be up against them and to be up against their club and the standard that they hold. I think that would be a really good challenge. It would push us a lot. Whether it's home or away, it would be a fantastic environment, which is also, you know, it's what the boys are happy to be about, and happy to play in. So I think if you have to look at first round and you have to say, you know, and you look in the USL 2 teams, the Bantams obviously are great. We got to play them a few weeks ago, as we talked about. But Tormenta 2, I think, would be a good one that would get to, you know, you would get to look into, all right, let's see how good we really are and see where we are right now in our club's overall process of being, you know, being a club that's out there to try and push and see how as good as we can be.
And after we beat them?
Ooh, that's always fun, getting to that next round, because then you're looking at USL teams. And I think it would be awesome, personally, for myself, it would be pretty cool to go play NCFC, just because close with those guys. At UNCA, we have, on our roster, we have one of their assistants, the NCFC first team's assistant, his son is on our roster at UNCA. So, and then we've got numerous NCFC players, so we're really close with that club in general. And I'm quite close with them growing up out on the eastern part of the state. So for myself, that would be pretty fun. I also think it would be cool and fun to get, you know, Charleston Battery or Charlotte Independence, just because it's Charleston, maybe it's not as local, but it's still, it's a fun environment, fun place to be, good team. Charlotte Independence is close.
We'd probably beat them.
They're struggling. They're certainly struggling right now. And I think it would be whether we played them home or away, it would be a fun game to be a part of, for sure. I think, you know, I'm sure our Chattanooga Red Wolves, who knows, that could be an interesting one. Greenville Triumph could be an interesting one, playing Coach Harks and having that relationship with him. Hopefully would prefer to stay away from, you know, one of those two until later on, and maybe we do someone else. But at the same time, whatever full-time pro team it is, I think it would just be fun to be there and give our guys the opportunity to have that and go chase some success.
Awesome. Well, Coach, thank you so much. I'll see you on Saturday.
Yes, sir. We'll see you on Saturday.
Been listening to the You're Smarter Than Us podcast. Shoot us an email at youresmarterthanus@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at youre_smarter.